Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tiamanini. I know I'm again coming to you on my own, but this one's for a little bit more of a traditional reason. On Tuesday night, I went over to the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts here in Orlando and saw the national tour of Mrs. Doubtfire, a show which I surprisingly enjoyed quite a bit more on tour than I had on Broadway. And Grace had an event to celebrate the upcoming Broadway revival of Roundabout Theatre Company's Home. So I'm coming to you here early on Wednesday morning to run through a whole bunch of really interesting news. But the plan is to get back with Grace for tomorrow's episode. So let's go ahead and dive into the news. And we are going to start with the reviews of the Broadway premiere of Mary Jane. The show opened up on Tuesday night at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater and is currently scheduled to run through June 2nd. Would not be surprised if that gets extended for a number of weeks moving forward. This is a play by Amy Herzog that originally premiered off-Broadway starring Carrie Coon in 2017. It is directed by Anne Kaufman. In the title role is movie star Rachel McAdams. She is joined by April Mathis, Susan Porfar, Lily Santiago, and Brenda Wheel. The show's description reads, quote, "Captivating, affecting, and compassionate, it's the story of a single mother in an impossible family situation. Faced with seemingly insurmountable odds, Mary Jane relies on unflagging optimism and humor, along with the wisdom of the women around her, who have become a makeshift family, to take on each day. But will inner strength and newfound friendships be enough to see her through?" In the show, Mary Jane's young son, Alex, is beset with multiple health issues from birth, and that leads to increasingly difficult situations in his mother's life. Much like yesterday's show, we're a little light on the number of reviews in the Did They Like It review roundup, but we do have 8. And fortunately, both for us and for the production, there is definitely a consensus because all 8 reviews are positive. Starting first with Jesse Green of the New York Times, who made the show a critic's pick, he said, quote, "Like all great plays, Mary Jane catches light from different directions at different times, revealing different ideas. On the other side of the worst of COVID, Mary Jane feels less like a parent's cry for more life than an inquest into the meaning of death." He goes on to talk about how he perceived the show this time around differently than he had in the play's initial off-Broadway run. He continues saying, quote, "What has changed? Other than a brief allusion to the pandemic, little in the script. The shrewd staging by Anne Kaufman looks and sounds much the same too. Lael Jalinke's set performs its wondrous mid-course transformation. Leah Gelpy's soundtrack of susurrations and beeps implies what the rest keeps hidden. New to the production, Brenda Abbandondolo delivers pinpoint costumes, and Ben Stanton makes marvelous images from streetlights, nightlights, and hospital fluorescence. The cast, returning or not, is unimprovable. It's McAdams, with her fetching warmth, who alters the temperature. If Carrie Coon's more business-like approach in 2017 was also valid, the greater distance between McAdams' natural sunniness and Mary Jane's reality enhances the play's tension. It leaves you to wonder what Mary Jane was like before Alex's illness gave overwhelming purpose to her life, and, more painfully and permanently, what she will be like after it no longer does." Adam Feldman of Time Out New York gave his second 5-star review of a play in the last week or so following up Stereophonic. He said of the women in the show, quote, "All are rendered in lovely detail by Herzog and the 5 women in the cast, directed by Anne Kaufman with characteristic attention to the importance of offhanded nuance." Aramidi Tanubu, writing for Variety, said, quote, "By the time the final curtain of Mary Jane drops, the audience is fully immersed in the titular character's experiences. McAdams masters her portrayal of a determined caregiver continually sitting in the uncertainty of worry, despite constantly leaning toward positivity." Jackson McHenry of Vulture, also positive of course, said, quote, "That tonal balance is delicate, and it could tilt in any number of directions. Too grim and it might be impossible to watch, I would understand someone not wanting to engage with a premise. Too woo-woo and it might become sentimental. It asks a lot, specifically, of the actress playing Mary Jane. Rachel McAdams turns out to be more than up for the task." In addition to the fantastic central performance, the playwright also got a ton of credit. Robert Hoffler of The Wrap said, quote, "Ultimately, McAdams gets her big theatrical moment, but much of the play's power comes from Herzog's scheme to withhold that moment. We expect Mary Jane to break down, explode, get pissed off long before she does. What sets her off is unexpected. It's worth the wait." Christian Lewis of Theater Mania said, quote, "Herzog has written a mournful lullaby, somehow simultaneously upsetting and soothing, thoughtful and gut-wrenching. It's difficult to sit through, and yet there is something consoling about it. Perhaps it is the comfort of seeing how people can come together to meet another's need, no matter what the need is. If you want to read more of these and other reviews, you can check out the Did They Like It review roundup in the show notes. All right, we are going to go from reviews to award nominations because on Tuesday, the cast of Merrily We Roll Along met at the Museum of Broadway to announce the 2024 Outer Critics Circle Award nominations. These ones are especially exciting for me because this is my first season as a voter for the Outer Critics Circle. So that means I get to vote on these, and I am very excited to wrap up my 2023-2024 season next week and be able to vote in all of these categories. I'm not going to run through all of the categories here, but if you want to dive deeper into the nominees, you can, of course, do that in the show notes. Just some points of information here. There are a number of shows that played on Broadway that had previously played off Broadway, so only the new elements of those productions were considered for these awards. That includes Just For Us, Here Lies Love, Merrily We Roll Along, Harmony, Pray for the French Republic, and Mary Jane. Suffs, however, since Suffs was determined to be more than 50% different from its original off-Broadway version, everything in that show is considered eligible here. Also, Illinois, since it hasn't begun performances on Broadway, actually will tonight, that is only eligible in the off-Broadway categories. And nominators were not invited to Here We Are, Danny in the Deep Blue Sea, and Walk On Through Confessions of a Museum Novice, so those productions were not considered at all. All right, in the Outstanding New Broadway Play category, the nominees are Jia Jia's African Hair Braiding, Mother Play, Patriots, Stereophonic, and The Shark is Broken. Outstanding New Broadway Musical, Days of Wine and Roses, Suffs, The Great Gatsby, The Outsiders, and Water for Elephants. Outstanding New Off-Broadway Musical, Buena Vista Social Club, Dead Outlaw, Illinois, Teeth, and The Connector. Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play, Dig, King of the Jews, King James, Primary Trust, and Swing State. The John Gaster Award, which goes to a new American play, preferably by a new playwright. The nominees are Job, Manhattan, Oh Mary, The Apiary, and Wet Brain. Outstanding Revival of a Musical, which considers both Broadway and Off-Broadway, Cabaret, Here Lies Love, I Can Get It For You Wholesale, Spamalot, and The Who's Tommy. Outstanding Revival of a Play, An Enemy of the People, Appropriate, Doubt, Mary Jane, Philadelphia, Here I Come, and Pearly Victorious. In the Outstanding Lead Performer in a Broadway Play category, the nominees are Jessica Lange for Mother Play, Rachel McAdams for Mary Jane, Sarah Paulson for Appropriate, Jeremy Strong, An Enemy of the People, and Michael Stuhlbarg for Patriots. Outstanding Featured Performer in a Broadway Play, Billy Eugene Jones for Pearly Victorious, Celia Keenan-Bolger for Mother Play, Alex Moffat for The Cottage, Jim Parsons for Mother Play, Sarah Pigeon for Stereophonic, and Kara Young for Pearly Victorious. Outstanding Lead Performer in a Broadway Musical, Ali Lewis-Borsky for The Who's Tommy, Brian Darcy James for Days of Wine and Roses, Casey Likes for Back to the Future, Kelly O'Hara for Days of Wine and Roses, and Marianne Plunkett for The Notebook. Outstanding Featured Performer in a Broadway Musical, the nominees are Roger Bart for Back to the Future, Justin Guarini for Once Upon a One More Time, Leslie Rodriguez-Kritzer for Spamalot, Keisha Lewis for Hell's Kitchen, and Bebe Neuwirth for Cabaret. Now let's go over to the Off-Broadway performance categories. Outstanding Lead Performer in an Off-Broadway Musical, Jeb Brown for Dead Outlaw, Andrew Durand for Dead Outlaw, Elise Allen Lewis for Teeth, Ben Levi Ross for The Connector, and Ricky Ubita for Illinois. Outstanding Featured Performer in an Off-Broadway Musical, Ben Cook for Illinois, Hannah Cruz for The Connector, Julia Nettle for Dead Outlaw, Judy Kuhn for I Can Get It For You Wholesale, Jessica Malasky for The Connector, and Tom Sesma for Dead Outlaw. Outstanding Lead Performer in an Off-Broadway Play, Cole Escola for Oh Mary, Mary Beth Fisher for Swing State, William Jackson Harper for Primary Trust, Mary Mullen for The Savior, and Paul Sparks for Waiting for Godot. Outstanding Featured Performer in an Off-Broadway Play, Gus Burney for Our Class, April Mathis for Primary Trust, Conrad Riccamora for Oh Mary, J.O. Sanders for Primary Trust, and Bubba Wheeler for Swing State. And the final category that I'll run through here, Outstanding Solo Performance, Eddie Izzard for Hamlet, Patrick Page for All the Devils Are Here, Mona Pernow for I Love You So Much I Could Die, Robert Mantano for Small, and John Rubinstein for Eisenhower, This Piece of Ground. Again, if you want to run through all of the other categories, we will have that in the show notes. All right, real quick, I want to dive into last week's Broadway grosses. And overall, Broadway was down just a tick at 2%, I think, with the increased number of openings. We saw the comp tickets have a little bit of an impact. But overall, Broadway came in at $34,650,614. Attendance did actually go up 2% to come in at 299,107 people, and the average ticket price was $115.85. Lion King again was on top of the grosses mountain, grossing $2,174,986. It was followed by Wicked at 1.97, Hamilton at 1.9, MJ at 1.5, and The Wiz came in fifth at 1.48. It was also the fourth highest attended show of the week, thanks, of course, to the massive Marriott Marquis Theater. The rest of the shows north of $1 million in descending order were MJ, Sweeney Todd, seven performances, Aladdin, Merrily We Roll Along, Cursed Child, An Enemy of the People, Back to the Future, The Great Gatsby, Water for Elephants, and The Who's Tommy, with Anne Juliet close behind. If you are scoring at home, that's 15 of the 36 productions on Broadway last week grossed over $1 million. In total, 25 of the 36 shows were at 90% capacity or more. Four of them were at 100% or more. That was Stereophonic and Merrily We Roll Along at complete capacity at 100%. Cabaret was at 100.09%. And then An Enemy of the People was at 102.69%. All right, let's get into some other news. And yesterday we got a Baz bomb from Baz Bombaboy at Deadline. He reported that the stage adaptation of the Studio Ghibli film My Neighbor Totoro will transfer to the West End in early 2025. It just wrapped up its multiple award-winning return at the Barbican Theater. It will now play the Gillian Lynn Theater beginning on March 8th of 2025. It is scheduled to run there through November 25th. In the article, the show's producer did not confirm a Broadway run, but did say that there was, quote, a lot of interest in a transfer to New York. Given that this one is currently scheduled to play just through November, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets extended a little bit through the holidays and could end up on Broadway in the spring of 2025. We know Grace is very excited about that. As we talked about before, Kate Schindel will not be seeking re-election after her 9-year term as Actors Equity president, but there are three candidates currently listed on the Actors Equity website member portal. Two of them are current executives with the organization, Wendetta Carter, who is the first vice president, she's an actress based in Chicago, and Erin Maureen Koster, who is the third vice president and a stage manager in New York City. The third does not seem to have any experience working directly as a member of the equity apparatus, but she certainly has a big name, and that candidate is iconic stage and screen star Brooke Shields. She said in a video announcing her candidacy, which all of the candidates did, she said that she discovered a bigger purpose through working on those shows on Broadway. She said, quote, whatever the fight was, I realized that I could get the ear of the producer and I could speak up for the cast members. And as president of the association, I can do that for all members. She said, I want to use all of the goodwill and the advantage that I have built up in my career over the years to be able to grow the value of being an equity member. The other two candidates obviously have much more organizing experience than Shields does, but does bring the celebrity power that comes with somebody who has been in the public eye for as many decades as she had. So ballots were mailed out on Tuesday and must be returned by May 22nd. So one of these three women, it seems like, will be the next president of Actors Equity sometime later this spring, and it just might be a very familiar name and face. Speaking of a familiar name and face, Aladdin is going to be welcoming in a new diamond in the rough starting on June 4th, and that person is Addie Roy, who has been playing the role in the North American tour since the fall of 2022. That tour is going to wrap up on May 12th, and then he will come over. He will succeed Michael Malliakel, whose final performance will be on June 2nd. Next up, going from Broadway out to St. Louis. It is that time of year when we are starting to get casting for the shows at the Muni this summer. First up will be the production of Les Miserables that is going to open up the theater's 106th season, running from June 17th through the 23rd. And the cast is fantastic. It is going to be led by John Riddle as Jean Valjean, Jordan Donica as Javert, Teal Wicks as Fantine, Red Concepcion as Thénardier, Jade Jones as Madame Thénardier, the iconic Ken Page as the Bishop of Digne, Emily Bautista as Eponine, Gracie Annabelle Parker as Cosette, Peter Noether as Marius, and James D. Gish as Enjolras. The rest of the season includes Dreamgirls, Little Mermaid, Fiddler on the Roof, Waitress, In the Heights, and Anything Goes. I'm hoping to be there for at least Waitress, maybe In the Heights as well, but definitely Waitress. So I cannot wait for the rest of these castings. All right, going to wrap up with a real quick recommendation. One of the final shows to open this Broadway season is Lincoln Center's Uncle Vanya, which opens tonight. And we have highlights from that star-studded production that features Steve Carell, William Jackson Harper, Jane Houdyshell, Alfred Molina, Allison Pill, and Anika Noni Rose. All right, everybody, that is all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio, and you can follow me on Instagram at BWW Matt. All right, everybody, have a wonderful hump day, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.